Obviously, I can't pass without saying something about the Ravens. So, first of all, I'd like the Kashima family to stand so we can witness your. Come on, stand, guys. Look at this. Oh my gosh. So, I was going to wear my jersey today, but my wife suggested I wear a purple sweater instead. So, I always follow her advice. But. And I know there's some new people here. I want to welcome you. And for the benefit of those of you who haven't been before when I've shared this prophetic word, I want to present it again today. I want to remind you of something from the Old Testament, from the book of Kings, where Elijah was in the wilderness, and God promised him that he would feed him supernaturally. And you may recall that passage in the scripture, and you may also remember that when he fed him, he did not send a cardinal or a falcon, neither of whom are in the playoffs, or neither are the Steelers. Sorry, guys. just hold on. I'm getting there. Thank you. Nor did he send a Seahawk who lost last night, and nor did he send an Eagle who won the Super Bowl last year, but he sent the Ravens. Yes, yes. So just to know, just to reiterate, Fred, where's Fred? Fred's biblical, there he is, Fred's biblical and Ernest coming up behind him there with that. So, all right. Well, I haven't shared since last year. So, and those of you that were here the last time I did share, I shared on the art of waiting. Isn't it interesting that the room that you gather in before you see the doctor is called the waiting room? Yeah, isn't that interesting? And how many of you felt like you waited like that guy in the picture, like forever, you know? When am I ever going to get called in? That's not a criticism for our doctors who are here today. Forgive me. I don't mean to be slandering you guys, but it's just interesting when we call it the waiting room. And last time when I shared, we looked at some things about waiting, the art of waiting. I called the message the art of waiting. We saw that waiting builds patience in our lives. Waiting transforms our character. Waiting builds intimacy and dependency upon God. And waiting builds anticipation. John Ortberg said this, biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Amen. Yeah. Father, we just thank you again for this glorious day. We thank you for your presence with us right now, Lord. And God, as we continue to probe the depths of your word and look into your kingdom and your promises, we pray, God, that you would fill our hearts and our minds and our souls with each and every word that you want us to hear today. God, open us to hear your word, we pray. Open our hearts, Lord. Father, if there's anything that's not in my notes that you want me to share, I pray you'd quicken it to my memory. If there are things in my notes that you wish for me to just let go of, then I pray you'd quicken that as well and give me the strength and obedience to obey. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Oh, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and your peace, your shalom, Lord. Let it abide with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the title I've given to today's message is Waiting for the Promise. Waiting for the Promise. And the scripture is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. But before we go there, how many of you have had in your life promises that were broken? And some of you as parents have broken promises to your children, yes? I mean, life is full of broken promises. I did some research, and I was about to share this morning all the promises that our presidents have broken. But I decided I didn't want to do that. But there's a long list, believe me, for every president, okay? Not just for our current president, but for every president, the list is quite long. I think it's part of politics, you know. But, you know, I thought of something. I thought of this. Fred and I were discussing what I'm going to share next the other day. I had sort of an epiphany.
Yeah.
I felt like, isn't it better to have a promise that's broken than to have no promise at all? I mean, think about it. Think if there was no promise for a new day. Think about it. Think if every day was the same. Always, no night, no day, no change of years. Everything was always the same. Everything you ate, you drank was always the same. Nothing ever changed. There's no promise. There's no hope. Like what? Like Groundhog Day. Yeah, that movie Groundhog Day. I wish I'd remembered that. Yeah, good one, Bill. Yeah, where everything, you wake up and everything's the same. And, you know, I was really proud of myself for thinking of this, but then I realized, as most things, it's true, I wasn't the first person to think about this. Mark Twain once said, better a broken promise than none at all. How about that, huh? Better a broken promise than none at all. So with that introduction, let me share with you a little video this morning that helps to underline this for us today.
Every 4 years, the citizens of our country head to the polls to elect our nation's leader. Just in our generation alone, candidates have emerged with various backgrounds, ideas, and policies. But they all have one thing in common: promises. Eliminate the debt, secure our border, boost the economy, fix education, protect Medicaid, lower taxes, cut spending, reduce government, increase jobs, restore values, and make America great again. And now we are faced with a decision between left and right, liberal and conservative, Democrat and Republican. So we attend the rallies, write the checks, hear the debates, analyze the polls, listen to the spin, watch the ads, follow the campaigns, pick a candidate, go to the polls, cast our votes, and then we wait. And 4 years later, we do it all over again. But what if this time something changed? What if Christ followers throughout our country didn't just listen to promises? What if we made the promises? What if we promised to become the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the hope for our nation? What if we promised to love our neighbors, forgive our debtors, and pray for our enemies? What if we promise to feed the hungry, care for the sick, and serve the poor? What could happen if we kept our promises? Maybe America really can be great again.
Yes. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen. Yeah. So I want us to consider the lives of two people who had to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. And they had to wait quite a while. These scriptures are from Luke chapter 2. And they're the story of Simeon and Anna. You're probably familiar with that story. But I have the words on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. Anybody got their Bibles this morning? Yeah. Even on your phone somewhere, just open it up there. All right. Oh, Fred's got two there. That's good. Yeah. So they were waiting for a promise. Now, waiting, we often think of as being passive, don't we? But waiting can be active. There can be active waiting as well. So let's look together. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 22. And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were finished, they, speaking of Miriam and Joseph, brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death. Okay, he would not see death. There's a promise. He would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. And this is what he said. "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave or your servant in peace, as you promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." Amen. The scripture goes on to say, his father and mother, meaning Miriam and Joseph, were amazed at what was being said about him, about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Wow. Isn't that amazing? We don't know how old he was, but he was an older man. You know, when I look at you, Dave, I think of Simeon. Stand up, Dave. Let's everybody. Here we go. Simeon in person here this morning. All right. Thank you. Standing there in the temple, waiting, believing that God was going to fulfill what? His promise. And did God do it? Yes. God fulfilled his promise. Now, there was someone else there. Her name was Anna. Anna. And she was a prophetess. And Anna, also a prophet, was there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married only 7 years. And then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you feel the same way I do. I know in some church settings they might feel like, there was Anna, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's right. I think she was excited, jumping up and down, praising God. What's that? Dancing in the aisles. Amen. She talked about the child. Listen to this. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? So she went out there and shared with, now she's 84 years old. She's not a young woman. And today that's not a young woman, although they say, what, the new 50 is 40 and 70 is all that sort of thing, you know. So 84 would be like 74, I guess, right? But back then, 84 was, you're getting up there in years. And we don't know for sure at what age she was a widow, but let's assume she was married at 17, which is quite possible. And widowed after 7 years, that would mean she was 24 when she was widowed. So 60 years she'd been in the temple. Wow, that's a long time, isn't it? 60 years waiting for the promise. 60 years she was waiting for the promise. How long have you had to wait for a promise? It might have been a day, it might have been a week. It might have been a year. It might have been longer. But how long have you had to wait? She waited 60 years. And, you know, I was just thinking this morning as I was completing my preparation, I just realized that, you know, Jesus came back to the temple when he was how old? 12, okay? There's no mention of her in that passage. Now, it's possible she just wasn't mentioned, and that's, you know, we can assume that, obviously. But it could be that she had left this world. Certainly, she probably was not alive when Jesus began his ministry, 33 years later, right? But yet, she received the promise. She believed in the promise, and the promise was fulfilled in her life. All of God's promises are fulfilled in our lives. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "For every word God speaks is sure, and every promise is pure. His truth is tested, found to be flawless and ever faithful. It is pure as silver refined 7 times in the crucible of clay." 7 times. Why would the author of this psalm write 7? Why not 6, not 5, what 9, 10? Who? I heard it over here. Number of perfection. 7 times the Lord's word's been refined. It is perfect. His promises are sure. Paul later writes in Romans 15:8, I'm convinced that Jesus the Messiah was sent as a servant to the Jewish people to fulfill what? The promises God made to our ancestors, and to prove what? God's faithfulness. Yes, and amen. To prove God's faithfulness. Like you, have had many times in my life when promises were broken. I remember one, it was a little humorous, maybe. But I remember it was a hot summer day in August. Dave can relate to this. Two-a-day football practices. Tongues are dragging. And the coach was always calling the plays in the huddle because he was trying to get the offense, you know, get them running right. So we're all in the huddle. And he said, all right, we're going to do this 5 more times and then practice is going to be over. Okay, I can go 5 more times, you know. So ran it five times. And then he kept going. I said, Coach, I thought we were only going to run it 5 times. And he gave me a stare that, oh, my gosh. And that was back in that was before today, you know. Coaches could hit people. They could do all sorts of things that they can't do today. And, I mean, he stared right through me. One of the other players said, Coach Kane, he's just a little, the sun's gotten to him. He's okay. Don't listen to him, you know. My broken promise. Now, we went on to play in the state championship, so I guess he had the right way to do things, you know, make us go harder and longer than me. But anyway, so Paul writes that Jesus fulfilled God's promises, and we know that. But also Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, and Silas and Timothy, did not become yes and no. On the contrary, a final yes has come in him. For every one of God's promises is yes in him. For every one of God's promises is yes in him. Therefore, the amen is also spoken through him by us for God's glory. Now, it is God who strengthens us with you in Christ and has anointed us. He has also sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment in our hearts. Amen. Aren't you glad? Every one of God's promises is yes and amen. Every one. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that in a world in which we live, when promises are broken, they're broken by our political leaders, they're broken by people for whom we work, they're broken all over the place. Many times they're broken. But with God, they're never broken. They're always yes. They're always amen. Now, I wasn't going to share this next part of my message. It just came up this morning, actually. And I don't know, for some reason, I just felt the Lord want me to share it. Yeah. I was reading your email, Dave. Dave and Dorothy sent out an email asking prayer for their family. And they have a granddaughter who is being mentored by Bree Payton. Honestly, I didn't know who she was. And they said she died suddenly. So I thought, well, who is Bree Payton? So I Googled it and learned that she was an amazing young woman. She died at 26 years old. She worked for Fox News, and I'm not a regular watcher of Fox News, but I recognized her face. I remember seeing that face before. And she went to bed one night, December 28th, said she felt fluish and never woke up. Yeah. Let me read you some of the things that were said about her. She fought for the homeless in D.C. She advocated for unborn babies with Down syndrome. The person writing this said, when I was an associate managing editor with the Federalist, a newspaper for which she wrote. Bree was always volunteering to report on current events, do radio and television appearances, and help with editorial work. If something urgent needed doing, she was on it within minutes. She was a woman of steadfast devotion to her faith. She regularly attended Washington, D.C.'s Immaculate Conception Church and would go to Mass in the middle of the week despite her busy schedule. In the D.C. apartment she shared with friends, roommates, they regularly talked about their faith and shared prayer requests with each other. I last saw Bree in early November at a prayer meeting with other women journalists from the D.C. region. As we talked afterwards, she told me she was going to visit a mutual acquaintance. It was only after her death that I found out that she was visiting because this friend had just had surgery. She arrived at the door with a beautiful bouquet of red roses. Wow. So we have to ask, I just started weeping when I read this morning. I said to Linda, Linda says, "What are you okay? What's going on?" I said, "I don't know. Just something is hitting me." I've never known this person. I don't even remember her very well as a correspondent, but just something hit me. You know, she was the daughter of a family, of a large family of children. And I thought, as a parent, losing your child at 26 years old in the prime of life. And I thought of Anna. Anna was 84 years old. She'd been a widow for probably 60 years, but she had been married. Bree never had the opportunity to be married. And taken from life so young. They think it was the swine flu. I mean, wow. And so you have to ask the question, Lord, why? And unfortunately, sometimes our minds go where they shouldn't go. You know, they begin to come up with reasons like, well, maybe the enemy took her out, you know, because she was doing such a great job. She was such a starlet. But if you go there, then what about all the other great men and women who God is using in this world? Or you might say, well, maybe there was something in her life that could be exposed that would hurt her or harm her, and God preserved her. I mean, there's so many thoughts you can have. And ultimately, you just have to say, I don't know. We just don't know. Lord, we don't understand why these things happen. But I'm still going to believe your promises. I'm not going to stop believing your promises. And that takes faith. The writer of Hebrews says it this way. Now, God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting and confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did. Yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. How many of you want to experience the realm of confident rest? Yes, amen. I do too. And it's faith that activates God's promises. Faith activates his promises. And so if we look through the scripture, there's probably 300 or more promises that God has made. I'm going to share all of them with you this morning. No, I'm not going to do that. However, I did pick 20 promises. This is just a sampling, just an appetizer. It's not even the main course. But consider with me these promises. What God has promised you, what God has promised me. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. The Lord, am with you always to the end of the age. The peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding or comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It will do that. He cares for you. If you remain in him and his words remain in you, whatever you ask will be given to you. Come on. And I'm going to come on. There's more. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. He will guide you. In this world, you will have trouble. Good news. Everybody know that? In this world, you will have trouble. Yes, that's a promise. That's a promise. It is. It's a promise. You will have trouble. But the rest of that verse says what? That's right. Rejoice, because I have what? Overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You'll have trouble, but our faith is in Jesus. We look to him. We don't look to the problem. There is no condemnation on you. Break it off. If anybody's feeling condemnation this morning, just break it off. Because there is no condemnation on you in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That's not from God. All things work together for your good. All things. All things. Everybody got that? All things. Not just some things. You know, I love it when people, there's certain things that happen are really good, and they go, oh, wow, thank you, Lord, that was great. And then something comes along, it's not so great, and they go, oh, it must be the devil. Rebuke you, Satan. You know, all things work together for your good. God's using everything in your life to conform you to the image of his son. Nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing will separate you. Nothing. Nothing. Wow. I looked up the Greek and all that, you know. Guess what it means?
Nothing.
Yes. It means nothing. Nothing. Nada. Zero. Nothing. Zilch. Thank you. Nothing. Oh, I turned the page, but I didn't turn it for you. God will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. God will never leave you or forsake you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Nick just said, I got that right. Thank you, Nick. God's grace is sufficient for you. It is sufficient for you. I just want to encourage you, every morning in your quiet time, just thank God for his grace. It is sufficient. You may be going through a hard time. Things may be difficult. But no matter what it is, his grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. We just have to avail ourselves of it. It's like that gift we were talking about earlier. There's the giver and the receiver. He's giving, but we have to receive. That grace is there every single day. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad it's not like, it's like the manna. Every morning it appears. You know, and aren't you glad it's not like, all right, line up for your grace. Sunday morning, come and get the grace. Line up. It's got to last you a whole week. If you run out, come back next Sunday. Yeah, his mercies are new every morning. Every day, his grace is sufficient for us. He supplies it. You may approach God with freedom and confidence. Ephesians 3:12. God has given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Amen. Last five. Jesus will help you when you're tempted. If you resist the devil, he will what? He will flee. He will flee. Very trials will lead you to maturity. Amen. If you ask for wisdom from God, what? He'll give it to you. Give it to you. What's the problem? Sometimes we don't ask. Yeah, and sometimes we don't receive it either. Yeah. You know, one of my greatest fears of getting to heaven is asking God, you know, why didn't you do this? Or how come that didn't happen? And him saying to me, why didn't you ask? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. Why didn't you ask? And lastly, if you draw near to God, he will what? He will draw near to you. Yes. That's just 20 of 300 promises. Whoa. That's amazing. You can live off this, right? Huh? You can live off these promises every day. In fact, you could live off just one of them if you wanted to, you know. Because they're all fulfilled in whom? Jesus. That's who we have to point to. That's who we have to walk with. That's who every day we have to talk with, walk with, enjoy his presence day in and day out. It's Jesus. It's all fulfilled in him. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so stand with me. And what I'd like us to do, I didn't know if I'd have enough time for this, so I didn't make the slide up. But I'd like us to read these together, but I want you to insert personal pronouns. Okay, so in other words, for the first one, you'll say, Jesus will help me when I am tempted. That's not the first one, but you'll make it personal. Let me go back. I went back on my iPad, but not on the screen. Sorry. Okay, here we go. So let's try this first one. The Lord will never leave me or forsake me. Okay, make it personal. The Lord will never leave me or forsake me. Okay, the next one. The Lord is with me always to the end of the age. Next one. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. He cares for me. Next one. If you remain in him and his words remain in me, whatever I ask will be given to me. Amen. All right, you ready? The Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. In this world, I will have trouble, but rejoice because he has overcome the world. Amen. There is no condemnation on me. All things work together for my good. Nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Amen. All right, ready? God will supply all my needs in Christ Jesus. God will never leave me or forsake me. God's grace is sufficient for me. You may approach God with freedom and confidence. Sorry, I said that wrong. I may approach. Yes, thank you. All right. God has given me a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And lastly, Jesus will help me when I am tempted. If I resist the devil, he will flee. Various trials will lead me into maturity. If I ask for wisdom from God, he will give it to me. If I draw near to God, he will draw near to me. Amen. Do you agree with that? Amen? Yes. All right. Father, thank you. Thank you for your promises. Lord, as we begin this new year, we receive these promises, Lord. Lord, our prayer is that we would walk in them every day, Lord. Thank you that you give us the grace to do that. Thank you, Father, for that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Father, that you never will leave us or forsake us. And that every day as we walk in those promises, that we'll see your hand at work in our lives, in the lives of us individually, in the lives of our family members, in the lives of this congregation, New Heritage Community, and our city of Baltimore, and our nation, and in this earth, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your promises. Lord, you promised that your word would go out to the nations. And indeed, in our lifetimes, we've had the great privilege of seeing that happen in ways that over 100 years ago, people wouldn't even dreamed of. Thank you. Thank you that your promises are being fulfilled. And thank you for the joy, the privilege, and the honor of walking with you day by day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And all people, God's people said, amen. Amen. All right.